Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, when I first heard about my new friend, Joshua Broom, a couple of great friends of mine and Gina, my wife, a couple, Steve and Thea Lewis, told us about the guy that owns the gym where they do CrossFit. And they proceed to tell us, they always talk about this CrossFit gym and how wonderful it is and the people that are there and what God is doing in the midst of this gym. And specifically with this guy named Josh, this guy that owns the gym and kind of does most of the training. And then they go to say, Josh has got this unbelievable testimony, really remarkable testimony, and I've been at this a while, so I hear that pretty often. And every testimony, really, think about it theologically, think about the miracle of salvation. Every testimony, every person that comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is a born-again Christian, every one of those stories is remarkable. But some of them, the journey is a little more wild than others. And they proceeded to tell me that this young man, Josh, Joshua Broom, his story is remarkable because, well, he used to be a porn star. So he was out in L.A. 7 years, and he used to be a porn star. But I tell everybody, before I go any further, and we're waiting for Joshua to get in here in the studio, my buddy is driving him in. So I've given out warnings on Facebook. I mentioned it yesterday. I mentioned it on Monday. This is definitely not a kid-friendly show today. So it's not going to be, gnarly and disgusting, and I'm going to ruin my witness here on the air. But we're gonna talk about it with enough frankness that you understand the darkness that is involved with the porn industry. You kind of have to go there in order for you to understand. And because pornography is such a major epidemic in our world these days, I want to, and I spent a couple hours with Josh 2 weeks ago because this was one of those interviews and time together that I definitely had to do a pre-interview so I could figure out how are we going to get through and navigate through Josh's story and to handle it appropriately. But it is definitely not for little kids. But it's an amazing story, and to shatter, because it is such a big problem out there, to shatter this perception on the outside as dark and gnarly and inappropriate and sinful as it all is, beautiful people and beautiful activities from that perspective and all this stuff. And when I sat down with Josh and started learning just how dark and depraved and just messed up and crazy it is behind the scenes in the porn industry, and not just the regular porn industry, heterosexual, if you will, but in the homosexual side of it too, men with other men. And Josh spent 7 years in the industry and 2 years in the latter form of the pornography industry. So a really dark background and a story of a good-looking young guy from a small town here in the Southeast that wanted to go to L.A. and become an actor. And it just took a bunch of crazy turns. And so you'll hear from Josh in a little bit. But I just wanted to, when he gets into the studio here, but I wanted to play for you. So there's that Joshua Broom in the background, okay? That's who he was. That's what he was doing. That's where he was making a bunch of money and all that stuff. But I want to play something for you because Josh in his activities at the gym and running the gym and as a pastor in training now, I want you to hear. Just think about what I just told you. And then listen to this, because this is Joshua Broom's message today.
Good morning, guys. So I want to ask you something. Do you ever feel so grateful that you can't even comprehend the life that you have? Because when I look around, I'm blessed with so many things. Like my wife. I know very well that I don't deserve her. And it blows me away that I'm standing where I'm standing right. The life that I have right now, I know I don't deserve, but God brought me through it. So it's just an amazing thing to think about that no matter where you've been, if you seek God, it's going to only be about where you're going.
So that's Joshua Broom today, versus Joshua Broom before. And guess what? Joshua Broom just walked into the studio. Josh, how are you, man? Good to see you.
Great. How are you?
You made it. You're here.
Yeah.
So I was just playing for people. I grabbed one of your Facebook videos just recently, and I was playing for people like who you are today, which is remarkable given the road that you've been down and what you've experienced and how far God has brought you. But super excited to have you here today. I've never given out so many warnings about a show as I have on this one today, but I really appreciate you being
here.
Yeah. Really appreciate you sharing that the way that you have, and just a great blessing to have you here. So let's just go. Let's just get in the Wayback Machine. Go ahead
let's
and pull the mic up a little bit to you closer. Because you want to get real close. I mean, I don't care. You can even tilt it down. You can spit on it. I don't care. I never use that mic. So anyway, let's go all the way back, because I was explaining to people how you spent 7 years out in that industry in L.A.
Yeah.
But where did all this start? Because you were just kind of a nice guy in a small town. Just take us into the Wayback Machine there. And what was your upbringing like?
Yeah, I was just a dude in a small town. I grew up in a very small town in South Carolina. I picked watermelons.
In a pretty normal.
Yeah, like super small town.
How small?
I graduated with, I think, 80 people.
Yeah, really small.
Yeah, super small. I think we have maybe two stoplights.
Yeah, two.
Maybe three.
Wow.
So maybe a Bojangles or something.
So a real small town. And what was family life like?
I grew up with my mom had me when she was 16. And so initially we lived with my grandmother, which my mom's brothers and her sister. So, my mom's, just a kid when
yeah,
she had
yeah,
me.
Yeah, just a kid, so is right, just, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
And then and then, what kind of guy were you like in high school? Like, who was Josh Broom in high school?
I played sports, ran around outside, had a decent amount of friends. Just a dude.
And you had told me before, I mentioned to people that we had spent a lot of time at a Panera recently.
Yeah.
But a good-looking guy. And so early on, were you doing some modeling back then?
Yeah, I started modeling when I was 15, 16. I just did one of those random, I saw it at a mall. Hey, show up. You can get your pictures taken for free if you meet certain, X, Y, and Z criteria. And they chose me.
They chose you.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah, bada boom, bada bing. And when we come back, we're hitting our first break, Josh, but we'll come back and hit it from there. When we come back, and then Josh off to college, and then what took him to L.A., and then from L.A., how did he end up in the porn industry? And then eventually we'll get to the point that how did God rescue Josh out of that, brought him back this way, and then today, not only CrossFit, not only blessing people, but basically a pastor in training. We'll be right back. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ, like a fire all over the world. Welcome back, it's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today with my new friend. And it's not just a new friend, he's an eternal friend. I love that when you meet another brother in Christ. Joshua Broom, who's sharing a really difficult, dark past, but it's amazing what God can do with all of that and how far you can be, that he still loves you, he still knows you, he still can come after you, he still can rescue you, and that's certainly the case with Joshua's story. As I mentioned before, if you're just tuning in, this is definitely not a kid-friendly show, because Joshua spent several years in the pornography industry as an actor, so we're going to end up talking about that a little bit, but right now we're just talking about his upbringing in a little town in South Carolina, fairly normal background, good-looking guy, involved in sports, did a little modeling in high school. Then you go off to college, and that didn't really stick for long, did it?
Right, yeah, I played basketball for a little bit,
Did you go to you came out of a really small high school. Did you go to a small college?
Yeah, it was pretty small. It was a college a few years before I got there, and then it transferred into a university. My uncle had went there, so that was one of my few male influences in my life. So yeah. I wanted to be like him.
And yeah, but that was a big issue. I'm glad you mentioned that, because you didn't have a lot of strong, godly male influence in your life.
Right, right. Or just not really any at all, because soon after, I was 7, 8 years old, my mom remarried, and that, wasn't the greatest situation.
Yeah.
But, no one was really around. Just my mom, who did a phenomenal job raising me and, ultimately provided everything I would need. But working predominantly, you know, most of the time to provide. So I'm just, you know, playing sports, trying to figure out life without that, you know, that strong male influence in my life.
Yeah. Which has caused obviously all kinds of wreckage all around the world and not just here in America. But so you went to college and that didn't really turn out to be what you were hoping for.
Right. I went to college looking for, ultimately, you know, I found that I was looking for a lot of things, and, you know, predominantly it was affirmation. It was looking for someone to say I was special, someone to say, you know, good job.
Yeah. Anything and, like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that didn't work out, and I was like, I'm decent at acting. I had not a great success, you know, with modeling, but it was, you know, something that, you know, I was getting pats on the back for. People were telling me, okay, you can do X, Y, and Z if you were in the right place. So I packed up my bags and took my $50 and went to Los Angeles.
Off to L.A.,
straight to LAX.
So many other people, right. But now, was there any faith component to you growing up?
I knew who God was. My family went to church. For the most part, we prayed, you know, on Easter.
Yeah.
When you went to church on Easter. I mean, it was, you know, just blind faith.
Yeah.
You know, it's like God exists because someone told me so.
Yeah.
I had no relationship.
But that's about
whatsoever.
It.
Right.
Yeah. So you get out to L.A. and then how difficult was that? I mean, you show up broke.
Yeah.
But you were able to get a job and start to support yourself.
Yeah. It was a crazy, you know, the way it unfolded. I just randomly found a roommate on, you know, like MySpace or something.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. MySpace. Yeah. But I crashed on a couch, ended up getting a job at a steakhouse. It was a steakhouse slash bar on Sunset Boulevard. I was like, all right, you know, I'm in Hollywood. I can, you know, if I'm here, then, you know, things will just magically work themselves out.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
That's how life works. Right.
That happens to everybody that goes to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And but, is Hollywood that world as crazy and mixed up from the inside as it looks like it's from the outside?
Yeah. I mean, no one that I met, you know, really had their stuff together. Like no one, you know, later on, I met a few people like that was involved in CrossFit and things like that. You know, they were, you know, fine, but most of the people that I met that were struggling actors, you know, models, you know, whomever, you know, trying to make ends meet, but doing, you know, working at, you know, whatever type of club or waiting tables or whatever they're doing, just trying to, you know, trying to chase that dream, but living, you know, living a servant lifestyle, in the process,
just scraping together a living until they hit their big moment.
Yeah.
Now your big moment, if we can call it that, came with a table full of attractive ladies.
Yeah,
and so take us into that day.
Yeah, so I walk out on the patio. It's Sunset Boulevard. It's middle of the day. It's a sunny day, and you know I have this table of ladies, so I was like, you know, great. I mean, they looked like they were going to have a good time. They're going to order a lot of drinks. I was like, okay, worst case scenario, I'll get a big tip from them, you know. And they start, flirting with me and asking me all these questions, like, you know. But it's like, would you ever be an actor? I was like, well, let me tell you, I'm actually Brad Pitt, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, but. But they were like, no, actually, I'm talking about adult acting. I was like, I'm an adult.
So it didn't even register.
Yeah. I was like, I'm so clueless. Wow. But they're like, well, have you ever considered doing porn? I was like, well, I've seen it, you know, like, sure. Who, you know, hasn't had that thought?
So you're a red-blooded, young American male.
Yeah.
And a table full of good-looking women.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, you can go fool around and get paid for it.
Yeah. So it sounded at the time, it sounded like, yeah.
It was that kind of simplistic, if I could put it in those.
Yeah,
two.
It was like, what better idea could you have, you know, in that situation? So I was like, sure. And they gave me their agent's number. I met with him, and then he blew smoke up my butt for an hour, telling me, it's like, if you can perform, then, you know, you could be the most successful person to do this, and most of the people aren't generally attractive. So if you could, you know, perform the task, then, you know, you would work as much as you wanted to. You would make all this money.
Was he throwing like dollar signs at you, telling you how much you could make?
Oh yeah, he's like, at minimum, you would start out making like $500 a day, and then you would generally shoot like 20 movies a month. And that's bare minimum.
Yeah, you start adding it up, and you're making six figures. And
yeah, it's like, doing that, And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. It sounds great.
Did anybody know back home at all? I mean, were you talking to anybody, or had you cut all those cords?
I hadn't cut the cords, but other than my mom and a few fraternity brothers from college, I didn't really talk to that many people. I didn't even see it happening, but I was pushing people away because of my brokenness.
Yeah,
I didn't even understand it. I didn't feel like I was worthy to be loved. So every time I had even a friendship, I would push them away, distance them, and in my mind, it made sense because it's like, I can't be a good friend. I can't be a good son. I can't be a good brother. So I'm just going to distance myself from you to protect you from me.
Wow. Yeah. And so once you got started in that business, and we're coming up on a break in about a minute, but once you got started on that, I mean, I would imagine that it would be awkward, but do you start to get numb to the whole thing pretty quick? Or
the first month I worked, I did 30 movies the first month. So, like, I went from never, like, having no idea what I'm doing. It's like, here, just...
So 30 movies in a month, that's got to be, like, one a day, right?
Yeah. So sometimes two, three in a day. Yeah.
It's crazy. And it gets a lot darker from there. We'll go there as much as we need to. But then how God got a hold of Joshua, and then especially what he's doing with him today, just an amazing, amazing story to the testimony of not what happened to Joshua, but what God does all the time. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. Just another friendly neighborhood Spider-Man kind of warning. Talking to my friend Joshua Broom today about a very difficult story, difficult journey. He went into the world of pornography as a star and spent seven years, right? Is it seven years?
Yeah.
And we're talking about that. So we just got into that part of the story right now. So definitely not, I would say it's an age-appropriate Call to Action Radio today. So I talked about it. I'm just doing that at the beginning of each segment. I'm putting that out on social media. By the way, if you want to join us on Facebook, we're doing Facebook Live every day. And then we're going to pray with Joshua after the show is over. We'll pray over him because God's really moving in his life and his wife and his marriage and his business and also his ministry. So we're going to take a few minutes after the show is over, and we'll all pray together over Joshua before we finish up today. So you can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A. C2A Radio on Facebook, and you can join us that way. But again, Josh, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your very first month, 30 films, it's like one a day and multiple scenes a day, I guess. I'm trying to choose my words wisely here.
Yeah.
Physically, how does anybody handle that?
Medication.
And that's the deal. So you're early on, I mean, there's no way any human being can maintain.
Yeah, I mean... It's kind of like, Mark McGuire hitting 70 home runs. It's like, you just randomly can do that, right?
Because he was all jacked up on steroids.
Yeah.
So you guys would literally have to use, I guess I can go ahead and say, performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That made the whole thing, literally, God designed sex as a natural thing, but that industry turns it into a completely unnatural thing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you see the film Inception, and it's a two-hour movie, but think about the hours that went into it. So,
right.
Obviously minimized, but, we would shoot 2 hours of footage, and you would see 20.
Wow. And so just getting into that where you're having to inject yourself and use all these kinds of drugs, besides that, in order to perform, were you getting into drugs just as a way to kind of self-medicate and deal with the reality, or was it all kind of fun and games for you for a while?
I never got into the drugs, but it was definitely around. I mean, I would definitely see girls that would come to set. They were either high or doing something to numb the pain because not that I didn't have the brunt of what was going on, but just seeing the girls just struggle and just know that, you know, they truly didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to truly be in that situation. Yeah. Like it sounds like all fun and games until you've been doing it for 2, 3, 4 years, and now your family's finding out, your friends are finding out. You know, it's just it's lava coming down at you slowly. It's just your life's crumbling and crumbling and crumbling, and then you instead of someone trying to share the gospel with you and save you, they're assuring you that, well, you not only better keep doing it because you can't do anything else, but you should probably take a step further, do something that you're more uncomfortable with, because now that you're tainted, the only way that you can continue to be successful is to further your boundaries.
Go darker.
Yeah, go darker. Yeah.
And would you say then that the overwhelming majority of people that in the industry are just trapped?
I would say probably 95%.
Golly.
Yeah. At minimum.
Did you see it at the time, or did you just get so numb?
I got pretty numb, and then I would have glimpses of if I was, you know, if you could call it dating someone, and, you know, we would work together, and then someone that I was friends with would, you know, have a situation with someone that, you know, it's like. And those things became normal to me, and that's how it blows my mind to look back and how broken I was, like trying to convince myself that I was okay with a swinger lifestyle, or you know, I was coming from, you know, a situation, you know, growing up with a single mom, you know, I would, you know, throw my fist up at you know any guy that would look at my mom.
Sure.
You know, very protective, and try to convince myself that I was okay with living a lifestyle like that. It just increased the pain because I was trying to suppress more and more and more, and I was trying, you know, I just found myself trying to be someone that I wasn't.
Yeah.
And then I just wake up one day and I don't even know who I am.
Did your mom know?
She did.
How'd she find out?
It got to the point where so many movies that came out, and I got a lot of acknowledgement. I won best performer of the year.
Yeah,
and,
so you weren't some bit actor in that world.
Yeah,
you were very successful.
Yeah, so they in Vegas they have this. It's called AVN Awards, and they show it on Showtime, and I won best male performer of the year.
So it was on cable Showtime,
right? Yeah, so and you click on Showtime and you know you see the little advertisement of who it is, and there's my face.
Do you remember the first time you talked to your mom after she knew?
Yeah, it was humiliating.
Oh, man.
And then of course my mom's, you know, I still love you.
Golly.
You can, you know, why don't you just come home for, you know, a little bit? You know, just kept reaching out to me, kept, you know, trying to reassure me that, you know, even though that I'm doing something that she's obviously not okay with, I still love you.
Yeah.
You know, trying to show me grace, but yet I couldn't see it because I was in so much pain that I didn't realize that, but I was hurting so badly that I couldn't even accept her love because I didn't love myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that stands in the way for a lot of people with the gospel itself.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to be the recipient of grace. There's no way God could love me. Look what I've done. And for you, you know, I'm in porn, for goodness sakes. There's not a lot of lower places people can go.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend much time here, but how did you then move? You mentioned how it just, you had to keep getting darker in order to keep a career alive. How did it then move into male?
Yeah. Ultimately, I
because you're obviously a heterosexual man.
Yeah. So I mean, it got to a point where I couldn't justify doing that, you know, that many times a month, and then I was like trying to transition into something else. I was looking for different avenues. I wanted to be a personal trainer, or I wanted to get back into acting or get back into modeling. And when I was trying to do that, they're like, yeah, absolutely. You know, we, you know, we'd love to shoot you and live to do this and that. And you're like, oh, wait, you're that guy. Never mind.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
door closes.
There's a thousand, you know, movies online about, you know, you doing X, Y, and Z. It's like, no thanks.
So based on what you just said, then I assume the male all of a sudden is, you don't have to work as much?
Yeah.
And make the same money? Is that the deal?
I was making the same money working 2-3 times a month as I was working 25-30 times a month. You know, I was making, you know, well over $20,000 a month.
And how did you handle that mentally, emotionally? I mean, you're not a gay man, but then
a testament of how I was so broken that I convinced that I had no worth, and sex to me got to a point where it was just a job.
Yeah.
It was just a job, as like I was sharpening a pencil. It meant nothing.
It meant nothing. Golly, you just get that dumb, that numb, that dead.
And it's like, you know, shaking someone's hand was more intimate than me than doing that.
Jeez. So it could, that's just hard to get your mind around. But that was the reality of it. Where does this story start to turn?
So, I'm 7 years in. I'm so lost. But I was walking to a bank, and I'd pretty much distanced myself from all people that I talked to on a consistent basis that knew me, like as Joshua Broom. And I walk into a bank to cash a check, and the clerk looks at me and said, "Joshua, is there anything else I can do for you?" And I hadn't heard anyone say Joshua in a really long time, and it just grabbed me.
Yeah.
And it ripped my heart out. And I went home and I looked myself in the mirror and I was like, "What have I done?
Yeah, who am I?"
Yeah. And then, you know, just wept and wept and just decided, okay, I'm done. I'm never gonna step on stage again. I'm never gonna do that again. I'm never gonna disrespect myself like that. I'm never gonna disrespect my mom like that again. And
did you think immediately, I gotta get home?
Yeah, I was like, because at first I was like, okay, I can just go back to the modeling. I can go back to acting, and all those thoughts were quickly shut down. And there was this, it was God, but at the time I didn't know that it was. Every door was shut all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden doors became open, and it was like, hey, I'm not only am I getting out of this, I'm getting out of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, Los Angeles, then moving back here to the southeast and eventually to Raleigh, and then it's just one amazing thing after another with his career, with marriage, and now with ministry. Just amazing, once again, what God has done. We're talking to Joshua Broom. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. We'll finish all on the positive side when we come back. Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always. Finishing up now in our last segment today with my new friend Joshua Broom. An incredible story, and he spent 7 years in the porn industry. He was a star, making all kinds of money. Went down a lot of dark roads there, not just making pornography with women, but also with men. And then got to the point, Josh, as you were talking about, that you were in a bank.
I was in a bank,
and you were used to. You had a stage name, which we're not going to mention, but. And all of a sudden, the banker's like, you know, thank you, Joshua. Is there anything else I can do for you? And that hit you because that was your real name.
Right. And I hadn't heard that in a while. And reflecting on it further, just as my walk with Christ is begun and just digging into the word, just knowing that, you know, my name means God saves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know, thinking back, you know, God saves. Is there anything else, you know, I can do for you? I'm like, please save me.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, amen. So did you call your mom first, or did you just move back because you came back to South Carolina?
No, I mean, looking back on it, you know, somehow I was able to, you know, I had the money to,
because you had to pay a big chunk to get out of a contract.
Yeah, I had to pay like $50,000 to get out of a contract. Had to get rid of my apartment, get rid of my things, and somehow, you know, at what. I wasn't looking for God's grace, but God's grace chased me down.
Yeah.
Is what happened. Man. You know, and like I've said many times, it's like I feel like I was a bad puppy, and he grabbed me by the neck and drug me out of there because next thing I know, I'm home. You know, I'm at my mom's house. I'm
and like, she welcomed you back.
Oh, prodigal son. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like I never left. And, you know, and the way she looked at me and wrapped her arms around me, it's like, wow, how could I ever hurt this person? Mm-hmm. How could I ever let this person down? And it was like I never did, because she never stopped loving me.
Yeah.
She never looked at me differently.
Isn't that amazing?
So good.
And how'd you end up in Raleigh?
So I have coached CrossFit for quite some time. Started doing that a little bit, looking to get out of that business. And I applied to every CrossFit in existence. and one took me on. And
was your background as a porn star? Was that part of the conversation?
No, it wasn't. I thought that, you know, I could just, you know, that was the first year, me just, I'm just sweeping under the rug, you know. Yeah.
Can't do that anymore, with the internet.
Yeah, I just sweep it under the rug and it'd be fine. Just ignore it and go away, and never dealt with it. And people found out and, you know, tried to change my, you know, had a Facebook. I was trying to be a regular person, you know, just normal guy.
Yeah.
People were messaging, you know, the gym, sending emails to the gym, sending emails to me, people that I trained at the gym. So somehow, you know, God protected me through that. And you know, I became more successful in that. Ended up transferring to another gym that I worked more hours at, made a little more money. That way I could just coach CrossFit. I was working in a grocery store as well, with coaching CrossFit. And, at that gym, my life started to take a, you know, more of a change. I started to make friends, which I didn't have for a very long time. I was making friends, I was being a normal guy. And, but again, like, people would find out, and then more people were finding out, and it was blowing me away, because these people knew God and they didn't care. And it was very confusing to me, because I was used to door after door being shut in my face, right, because of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is pretty wild. And then I met this lady named Hope, who
Mrs. Broom.
Yeah, Mrs.
days.
Broom. Yeah. We went on a walk. We were supposed to go running, but we went on a walk, and that walk lasted for about 2 hours.
Wow.
And I was like, man, not only did I not know that person this well before that walk, but I'm in love with this person, and I can't imagine not spending a day with that person.
How hard was it to tell her about your
incredibly past? Hard, because I thought, okay, I'd found this person that, like, was the girl of my dreams, beautiful, you know, like everything that I'd ever wanted. And she's like, okay, you know, let's see this through. Let's, you know, let's be in a relationship together. I'm like, well, you know, record skirt.
Yeah.
But
this one other thing.
Yeah, well, this one little thing. I've done 1,000 movies. I've done 1,000 adult films. You know, I did porn one time, and it was, and she asked me if I knew God, and I said yes. And it was a strange moment, because it was the first time that I'd said it with conviction. Like, yes, I know who God is. And when I said that, she's like, if you know who God is, then the God that I know sent his son to, you know, forgive people for that.
Man.
It leveled me. I was like, man, and that was the first time I truly saw a tangible, like, evidence of this is what, you know, a Christ-centered person looks like. This is what, you know, having a relationship with Christ is. And I was like, man, how can this be?
Now, if anybody wants to kind of get this, I get it, because I've spent some time now with Joshua. But if you just go to his Facebook page, Joshua Broome, Broome, and you just watch some of the videos, these basically little devotional videos he puts out most days of the week now, You're gonna see a guy that's so in love with Jesus, so in love with your wife, so amazed by the blessings in your life, and then you sit there and juxtapose that with where he was and how dark that was and how far down he was. just totally amazing. And now God prepping you for ministry, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's up with that, dude?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is, you know, I say it, I thank God every day for what he's brought me out of. And only God could turn the mess that I made in my life to something this great.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my business is thriving. I'm married to a beautiful woman. I'm training to be in ministry. I have a great church. I have a lot of great relationships.
Yeah, you're at Hope Community here in the Raleigh-Durham area.
Yeah.
Big church here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, lead a small group. And
so you want to encourage people. You want to lift people up. You're training people. What drives all that in you now?
Christ.
Yeah.
Because, you know, grace that big. A few times I've how do I describe God's grace? And for me, it's like my grandma's biscuits. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, something that good. It you know, just coming from the South, it's like when you got something good, you gotta get a bite of this.
You gotta try my grandma's biscuits.
You gotta try it. And that's, you know, that's grace in my eyes. It's like it's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's so good. How can you not share it?
Because just the other day you baptized some people from your CrossFit gym.
Yeah, there was four baptisms that I had the opportunity to take part in, and one was my wife, which was,
I baptized one of my kids. I have a little bit of a sense of what that's
so
like.
so great, so humbling.
Oh, man.
What God has done in my life, and just for her, you know, she grew up Catholic, and just, you know, her saying to me, because she was the picture of Christianity to me, and seeing her say to me that I've led her to have a strong relationship with Christ. Mm. I was like, wow. But she, you know, she grew up Catholic, and she was
my wife did too.
Yeah.
And I grew up Protestant. She grew up Catholic. Neither one of us knew the gospel.
And it's like, man, she's like, because of how much you love the Lord, I do want to get baptized just to give God a shout, just to give him a big high five because he's that great.
What do you say to people, Josh, that are, you know, that most people aren't going to have your story or the depths of that. But what do you say to people that not me? I'm too far gone. I've done too much. I'm too dirty. I'm too messed up. I'm too much of a sinner. There's no way God can forgive me. What do you say to them?
We're all broken. We're all broken, but we're all redeemed in Christ.
Is it that simple?
Yeah. It honestly, it is. You know, his way is better. But we can't fix ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, just accepting, you know, God sent his son to pay for every mistake we'll ever make. And if you accept that, how can that not change your life?
Yeah.
If you can really take that into your heart and accept that, you know, he sent his only son to die on the cross to pay for my mistakes.
While we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
Christ died for us.
Yeah. While I was making a mess of my life.
Yeah, you're doing porn for 7 years.
Yeah.
And he hangs on the cross.
Yeah, for
and
me.
And he looks you square in the face and says, hey, Joshua, I love you.
Yeah.
That's overwhelming.
Yeah. And love like that.
Oh, man.
How can that not change your life?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. With we only have about a minute left. I just wanted to ask you this one. With the proliferation of pornography and stuff, and how many people are struggling in and outside of the church, in the pulpit, outside of the pulpit.
Yeah.
Is that something that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's one of those things when you look at it and it's just a hobby or it's just something that you look to for enjoyment, and it ruins relationships. It ruins the way that men look at women. It ruins the way that women think they have to be perceived.
Yeah.
And know that those people on those videos aren't happy. They are broken. They don't want to be there. They want to be somewhere else.
That's the most powerful thing.
Yeah. And they're being taken advantage of. Yeah.
Will you come back again?
Absolutely.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be
I'm
great.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
God bless you, brother. Thanks
God
for
bless
being
you.
Here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, the incredible story, yet another incredible story of God's grace, this time with a guy named Joshua Broom. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.